What's going on, everybody? This is Patriot Underground here. Now, before we begin the show tonight, I just want to say a quick word on behalf of my partners over at PatriotUndergroundGold.com. Now, if you haven't already heard by now, major stock market sell-offs have been happening very recently. It was actually reported at the end of Q4 2023 that Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, and Bill Gates combined to sell off $11 billion worth of shares in companies that they have had very substantial positions in, including their own. Bill Gates in particular actually dumped 65% of his portfolio. So obviously, folks, this is preparation for what we know is coming. We've been talking about this for a very long time, a black swan event. You've heard more and more mainstream type figures talk about a black swan event, most recently Katherine Herridge. We know that this is coming. The bottom line is that this news is a barometer of a major economic downturn, bare minimum. So if you have money that's tied up in the stock market, you have a 401k or an IRA, and you haven't diversified or shifted all of your assets out of the fiat debt prison and into precious metals, luckily you still have an opportunity to do so. But I would caution folks that that window is very rapidly closing, because as conditions deteriorate, the demand for gold and silver is going to continue to surge. And even though I'm not a financial advisor, I can read the tea leaves and I can see what's happening. All of us can see what's happening. The direction that the whole world is headed is toward asset-backed currencies. And in the case of the United States, gold and silver specifically. And so if you purchase now, while these precious metals are still being suppressed, you're going to put yourself in a very good position to be able to capitalize on the transition into the new economy, into the quantum financial system, as Nasara and Jassara are rolled out. So I would highly urge people to act now while you still have the opportunity to get in at a very good price and be able to have that peace of mind and knowing that no matter what happens in the stock market, your money is going to be safe and secure in precious metals. And very likely, you're going to capitalize, like I said, on this transition. So click the link below. If this applies to you, don't waste any time, folks. I'm telling you. This is coming, and it's coming fast. PatriotUndergroundGold.com. My partners are absolutely incredible. They're going to work as quickly as you do to bring you the peace of mind that you so richly deserve as we head into this chaotic storm and we experience this financial transition. PatriotUndergroundGold.com. All right, folks. Thank you so much for listening. God bless and Godspeed. Patriot out. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Patriot Underground. Today is March 14th, 2024. Thank you so much for joining me, folks, to discover the truth beneath the surface. As always, I really do appreciate everybody out there taking the time to listen, and it is my great pleasure to welcome my good friend, Dr. Jim Willey, back to the show. He is the editor of the great website, golden-jackass.com. That is the home of his hat trick letter, and he is an absolute guru when it comes to financial forecasting and really more or less any topic that comes up having to do with the Great Awakening. Jim Willey is a must listen in my view. So, Jim, it's great to see you again. Glad to have you back. How have you been doing?
Oh, been busy surviving. I don't know anybody who's doing swimmingly. I don't know anybody. And that includes millionaires.
Yeah.
Not anybody is doing swimmingly. This is a very big battle. And I think we are in a global war. The remarkable perception that I have lately is that the one third of the people in the middle, okay, one third are awake and reacting. One third are hopelessly lost and clueless and I give up. But the middle one third, we're getting a significant awakening. They're getting it. They're seeing that Biden seems to be destroying the country. They don't even know that Biden might be gone and that's a masked man. They're seeing price inflation with food and rent and insurance and everything. They're seeing bad policy. They're seeing the open borders and they're beginning to question, my God, is it really 10 to 15 million people in the last several years? Yeah, it is. So they're beginning to put two and two together and wondering, well, why are we doing this? This is crazy. Okay, there's an awakening of the middle one third. And I think that is wonderful because when that becomes far more advanced with the progress of awakening, you're dealing with close to two thirds of the public. We're always going to have 10% of the people who are just absolute morons. They're just have no idea. They don't even know, the capital of their state. They don't know much of anything. We're always going to have that level of moron in our society. This is an exciting time because it looks more and more like we're coming around the bend to the final stretch. And the Kentucky Derby is coming up. I love the three races. Kentucky Derby, Preakness, followed by the Belmont Stakes. I've never been to one, but I have been to an Indianapolis 500. And I know this is not relevant to anything, but my brother went to a university in that general area, and he said, "Jim, you got to come to an Indy 500. Bring a gal." So I did. I brought Barbara. And okay, here's what happened. This is a really quick story. You got like 50 cars, and they have to start together, and someone has the pole position, which is the number one spot on the inside. So you got 50 cars, and there's not a lot of space between them. I mean, they don't have like 10 yards, they have like 10 feet. So by the time they go all the way around, they're ready for the beginning. And then they have the big, the flags. All right, that's the start. I was knocked back 3 feet by the 50 cars and the roar. Sound waves knocked me back 3 feet. They knocked everybody back 3 feet. I'll never forget it. It's the most impact I've ever had in my life. It's more than any windstorm that I had in Boston in my entire 20 years there. Okay, so we've got, okay, back to our reality. I like to start off with the political side because, we just had, I think, seven consecutive huge victories for Trump in the Republican races. And he's not going to start a GOP party. That was talk. We're seeing more resignations of rhinos, the Republicans in Congress. And I hear some people making the wrong conclusion. Oh, there we go. Another Republican is backing out. I don't care if he's a rhino. No. We do care he's a rhino because he votes with the Democrats. Then you had Nikki Haley back out. And this is straight from the Florida wingman military guy, he said there is enormous pressure being put on the entire Biden group. Okay, this I call it the Biden show. It's like a television show. They just had a recent photo op of what was his name? Johnson, the Speaker of the House, coming out of the White House. Well, to the right was an adjoining gray building, five stories high. I don't know if you've ever been to the White House in Washington, D.C., but there's nothing for 300 yards for security reasons.
Are you talking about the Eisenhower Executive Building was in the background there, right? I think I saw that shot, and there was like some I don't know if that was actually was that right? I think 'cause that was outside the West Wing, that
No,
picture.
that was outside the McPherson
I thought it
military base in Atlanta. The
was. So
fake,
you're saying to a model of the West Wing? Is that what you're
yeah,
saying?
the model of the White House. It's in outskirts of Atlanta.
Are you
Okay,
referring to the? Okay. All right.
there is no building adjoining the White House that starts 10 paces from the gate. It is a gate that goes out like 50, 80 yards, not five. There's no building adjoining the White House. We saw a shot of the fake White House. Okay, this is getting out there. All right. The word that I'm hearing from the Florida wingman is that there's incredible pressure for Biden to step down. I don't mean step out of the November election presidential race. I mean resign from office before the end of the term at the end of the year. There's incredible pressure for him to resign. And understood between me and my military guy is that Kamala Harris is not going to be considered suitable. So they're trying to force Biden to resign. And at the same time, Kamala Harris will not be eligible. And it's going to create a very big firestorm where the next in line is Speaker Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Speaker Johnson, I think he's got one foot that's occasionally in the wrong pond, if you know what I'm saying. But he's got one foot that's firmly in the pure pond. And that makes him partly dirty and not very trustworthy. Okay. I'm going to add to that. I think I mentioned this before. When in past elections, if one particular party cannot control the center, and it looks very clear that Trump is controlling the center, then the other party will put forth an extreme candidate. And I don't know if I mentioned this error before, but in 1972, I was a senior in college, and I said that the senator from Minnesota was McGovern. He was the senator from South Dakota. So I got that error corrected, and I thank people for correcting my little errors. It's not a serious error, but McGovern did win Minnesota, and I thought it was his home state. No, he lost his home state of South Dakota, but he won Vermont and Minnesota. Here's the point. If it's an extreme candidate, it's like a guaranteed loss. I mean, a guaranteed landslide loss. And this time we're in an atmosphere, Patrick, and I think you're well aware of this, that we're talking about a landslide squared. Mm-hmm. A landslide in the past was like Ronald Reagan winning by, 8.5%. No, I'm talking about 38. I'm talking about 50% win, 75-25. They're going to do their best in cheating, and I don't know how that is going to be handled. I do not believe that Dominion is going to have a prominent role. Okay, here's another thing. It's really important regarding this presidential race. The later that Biden backs down from the presidential race, the weaker whatever candidate that picks up the mantle will be.
Mm-hmm.
It is widely known that if a sitting president does not wish to run, that he should let it be known that he's stepping down before the primaries even start. That's what Lyndon Johnson did. You weren't born then, but the Vietnam War led to him saying, I'm not even going to run next year. Okay, the later Biden waits to drop out of the race, there are two issues. One is renouncing his presidency, and the other is not choosing to run for re-election. The later he waits for dropping out for the re-election, the more pathetic the Democrat candidate will be. And I have a joke. I don't know if I said this before with you last time we were on, but the three candidates are Sasquatch, the cyborg, and the witch. Sasquatch is Big Mike.
Yeah.
Obama. The cyborg is California Governor Newsom, and the witch is a wannabe politician, Governor Whitmer of Michigan. Okay. I heard Big Mike 2 weeks ago let it be known that he's not interested, but I'm not so sure about that. I'd love to see Big Mike run. I'd love it. He has no political experience. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Big Mike Obama has experience with cocaine, gay, fudge packing parties at the White House. So that's got to count for something. So he knows how to treat dignitaries from behind.
So wait a minute. Let me ask you, can I interject for just a second? So we're talking about, are we talking about a potential scenario here where Trump could actually run unopposed?
You stole my punchline, but that's fine.
Oh, crap. I didn't mean to do that.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
I'm sorry.
It makes even more impact. That's fine. I'm not bothered at all. The later Biden waits to drop out of the presidential race, the weaker the candidate will be. If he drops out after winning the convention, maybe he'll take his mask off. We're dealing with a Potemkin village. McPherson military base has a fake White House. If that is not a modern day Potemkin village, do you know what I mean by a Potemkin village?
I don't know.
Okay, this was like, 200 years ago, the Tsar of Russia built a fake city. It was like a town. And all it was the storefronts. And the enemy soldiers encountered left and right. Oh my gosh, we're being surrounded. There's a whole city here, or a whole town. It was nothing more than facades. Okay, we've got it's a common term of a fake platform, a fake structure.
Okay.
The Biden show is Potemkin Village.
Potemkin
Okay,
Village.
They got Culver City in California with fake sets. Okay, we're having fake State of the Union addresses. We have fake people in the audience. Langley actually has an underground congressional chamber. This is an enormous chamber. This is Potemkin Village. Okay, imagine Biden wins by almost default, because no one runs against him, the nomination for the farce that is the Democrat race. He could come out and say, I'm not going to run. I'm going to turn all my delegates over to whatever. We don't know. This is how stupid it all is. And okay, this is not exactly a forecast. This is a conjecture. Biden will pass his delegates to Mr. or Mrs. X. And then the next day, Mr. or Mrs. X will say, I'm not interested. And that will be Trump unopposed.
Okay. And so the theory behind that then would be, not the theory, but the tactic behind that, because it sounds to me like this is being engineered by the White Hats, right? To a degree, or do you think that
it could be?
Because I'm, well, I
they
guess
could be pressuring Biden to wait to the last.
Okay, because I guess
they could be waiting. They could be pressuring Biden. Wait. They could be pressuring Biden to wait for the last minute to make it the worst possible moment in time.
Which, of course, would benefit the White Hats and would benefit Trump, but
yes,
then
yes,
but
yes.
Then ultimately,
okay, that,
go
okay,
ahead.
Let's take this the next step. Okay, as it is now, we got no viable candidate if you exclude Biden, and I don't even regard him as viable. We have no viable candidate by the Democrats. There was talk about Nikki Haley moving over to the Democrat Party. But she's already proved that she can't win against Trump head against head. So why do you want to bring a loser over to lose for the Democrats? It's not going to be Robert Kennedy, because he's not considered one of the boys. He wants to sue Big Pharma. That's a disqualifier right there. Okay. We don't have a viable candidate for the Democrats. Okay. I'm just going to say this. We might possibly see the cyborg Governor Newsom of California jump at the chance. And he might blow it if he ever gets, say, Biden's delegates. I'm not sure Biden's going to give the delegates to Newsom, but he might. I don't know. Biden might forget who's supposed to give them to.
That's probably more likely, yeah.
He might say, I'm tired of all this, and rip off his mask, and you see a Hollywood actor. You might even see Jim Carrey. And say,
that would be interesting.
Liar, liar, pants on fire. Okay, you remember that movie?
Oh, yeah.
The Liar. Jim Carrey, it was a great movie. It was funny, funny, funny. Okay, we might have the cyborg take the nomination and then during the campaign openly discuss that he's a cyborg. And then it's Trump versus a cyborg robot. Okay, you can't make this up. The United States has entered circus territory. We're the laughing stock, not of the Western world, of the entire globe. We're the laughing stock. And the most evil and destructive and criminal organization taking over government is in Canada. So we're a real pair in North America.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think, let's get to the consequence. Let's just say, all right, let's just do some thinking out loud and political analysis. What would happen if Trump really is unopposed? What happens if Trump has, say, Robert Kennedy as an opponent and some weakling who's a senator from Bupkis? A senator from Bupkis gets the Democrat nod. What's the consequence here? We defuse the Civil War. If Trump runs virtually unopposed, then nobody can say that he stole the election when it's over. He stole it from what? Robert Kennedy? If the Democrats produce a very weak candidate, I think Robert Kennedy is going to fold and he's going to say, I put all my support with Trump. I want everybody who supports me to vote for Trump. And we're going to defuse this entire threat of a civil war, but that does not send home the maybe 100,000 sleeper cell military age men with their debit card and their cell phone waiting for the Obama team to tell them to go start riots. Okay, that is a continuous problem. And the wingman, my military guy, I call him wingman because he's my wingman. And that doesn't make me the pilot, but, you know, there are many pilots. They're concerned very much about the sleeper cells. And he said, Jim, I want to give you some numbers. It's a number a good deal higher than 50,000. There are over 50,000 sleeper cell members. I said, you think it's over 100,000? And he said, probably, but we're just arguing numbers. We really don't know. I said to him that I think there might be a lot of sleeper cell members who break away, who have their $2,000 and they don't have a pistol and they figure, hey, screw this. I'm just going to go wander off in California and hit the soup kitchens and stay safe. I'm not sure the sleeper cells are going to be an effective fighting unit. Mm. And that's just my opinion. How long can they keep funding them? Are they really, you know, outside of New York City and say San Francisco, how effective is this? I don't know. I know they've been distributed to the various 50 states and they've had free passage to the city of their desire. But I don't know that that means they're still connected. I think they're going to take the money and say, I don't want to go out there and start looting. I might get myself killed. So I'm going to take the $2,000 on the cell phone. I'm going to take the hospital visits for some health care because I had a problem with my shoulder. And I'm going to just disappear. Okay, that's what I think the sleeper cells, I think they're going to dissolve. I don't think
the idea behind those guys is that they're waiting on NATO orders, right? Or UN orders, I've heard, right?
UN orders.
Sorry, UN orders. So if they get the call, if they get the, you know, the bat signal from the UN, however they choose to do that, you're saying that a lot of these people, you think, are just going to go whichever way the wind is blowing? Is that kind of the way?
Yeah, and they're going to be vagrants across the nation who have a $2,000 debit card.
Well, let me ask you this. So let's go back to this whole concept of, you know, the border, the civil war, all these things that we've been talking about, and even the election. I mean, we're in an election year. I would say probably, I hesitate to put percentages on it, but I would say at least half of the Patriot community, or Truther community, if not more, believes that we're not going to see an election. Some people are saying that we are. And then, of course, there's the same conversation to be had about the emergency broadcast. And some people are saying, no, we're not going to have an emergency broadcast. We're just going to, you know, go ahead and move forward with the election. Now, my question is that, let's just say hypothetically, right, whether Trump runs opposed or unopposed. If we have, I mean, there's a couple of different things that could happen here. If we actually get to an election and we don't have an emergency broadcast, either we see another scenario where it gets stolen all over again, which I think would immediately trigger secession. I think they would that's probably the quickest path to a civil war, as far as I'm concerned, is another stolen election. But let's just say Trump wins, right? And he gets into office, and you know, everybody's happy that he won. It raises a lot of questions about, okay, well, what about the 800,000 sealed indictments? How are you gonna fix all of these massive problems that we have if the optics are business as usual? Without some sort of a, like, you know, Trump keeps talking about a pause, like we need to have a pause. We need, you know, there's multiple different clips of him saying that. And I agree. We've got, like you said, I mean, the wheels are falling off. So it's not just simply a matter of getting Trump back into office. I think that even when if he does get back into office, the optics have to change dramatically in order to wake up, like you said, that middle third, to fully wake them up. And of course, the big question is justice. How are we going to get to justice? Is he going to just come into office and then all of a sudden start rounding people up, deporting people? And that's what he's saying he's going to do. But to me, it just seems unlikely that that's a viable scenario if we don't have an emergency type of a situation. What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts on that are that there are other plans to defuse the Civil War threat.
That's still viewed as a very a significant threat at this point, even now?
Yeah. I'm not sure what you're asking. The civil disorder.
Well, I guess where I was going with that. And then I'll shut up.
Disorder, not civil war. Civil disorder. I mean, like looting, burning, emptying out all the supermarkets so they shut down.
Gotcha. Okay? All right.
Yep. Okay. And burning. Burning. Arson. Okay. That's what I call civil disorder. Okay. We need to defuse that. Okay. I believe there are other plans that could work toward defusing. Okay. I just mentioned one. They organize it in such a way. I remember I told you the Florida wingman said that they're trying to pressure Biden to step down. I didn't say stop running for president on reelection. I said renounce his president's post. If that happens, I think Trump will find a way to become the president before November. Okay. Another thing that I heard is that we're going to see a massive display of the 2020 election fraud, a massive display. Now, if we have Biden step down, we have Kamala Harris ruled out as ineligible. We have Johnson, the Speaker of the House, coming forward to make a speech. Maybe his speech will be, I don't want this presidency. I'm not prepared for this presidency. Let's have a forum to show the evidence of election fraud and have our commander-in-chief, Donald Trump, take the presidency, and now we have a pause.
Okay.
And if we show the election fraud in a vast display, I think that defuses the civil disorder. if we have Biden step down from his president throne, his fascist throne, we're going to see a sequence of events that we cannot predict. It's going to go to Kamala Harris, and then it's going to grind in the gears. I keep wanting to say McCarthy with Johnson. Remember, Johnson was handpicked as Speaker of the House.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, why? How? Who? He was selected under some kind of an agreement that we're not privy to. I think it was, if it ever falls on you, you open it up and bring in the commander in chief. Okay. That's what I believe.
I've heard similar things, but it was previous to this, it was the 25th Amendment. You know, that would be the way that, and you're saying
what
that.
What was the vice president, though?
Sorry?
The 25th Amendment turns to the vice president.
Right, but wouldn't Kamala still be ineligible? I mean, wouldn't that be the...
I'm saying that Kamala has not admitted that she's ineligible.
Right.
Why is she even sitting as vice president?
Good question.
Why is she even sitting in the Congress ready to break the tie on a 50-50 vote? Why is she even in Washington?
Why was Obama allowed to serve two terms as president? I mean,
I know. Well, this is part of the fascist display and parade. Okay, I believe everybody accepts the fact that Kamala Harris will not be the president if Biden steps down, and the gears will grind when we get to focusing on the Speaker Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Johnson made a deal, and that's why he's in that position. I think we're seeing a removal of rhinos right now in the Congress. We saw McConnell forced to, he did something very clever. The Republican majority leader from Kentucky, Mitch McConnell, he said, I'm not going to run next year for the same post. They wanted to impeach him. They wanted him out of the Senate. But he did something very clever so that he's staying till the end of the year. A very smooth move. And, you know, we will never know what happened to his wife's sister. She was killed.
McConnell's wife's sister.
Yeah, Chow. Yeah, she was killed. Mm. I don't buy for a second that it was an accident. Okay, that was a message. Isn't it interesting that his sister-in-law is removed from among the living, and then he backs out of his position? But they've got some dirt on McConnell. I'd rather not talk about McConnell. He's a piece of shit. I think he's a traitor. And dirt is going to come out in the next several months like you've never seen before. Okay, we are going to have the gates of hell opened, and all the dirt is going to come out for people to see. Not all, but a lot. Okay, the other thing that the wingman said is we're not going to get an emergency broadcast. It's just not going to happen. There is a sincere desire by whatever means to get Trump back in the White House as president. He's widely recognized to be the commander in chief. He holds the nuclear suitcase. He's riding Air Force One. Biden is not. Biden is a joke. And it's going to become more and more apparent. Okay, let's get off the political
side. Can I just ask one more question on that?
Go ahead.
Okay, I just want to get your take on this. Who do you think is actually pulling fake Biden strings? Because
Obama.
I don't think – you think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
In the United Nations, New York City.
The reason I question that – now I'm just going to say this and then we can move on. The reason I wonder about that, and I've talked about this recently, is because they're doing a really piss-poor job of making him look competent. Everything that that man has done from the moment he arrived in he never actually – well, I won't
well,
get
– I would say that – after a year and a half, he changed to incredibly inept, whereas in the first year and a half, he looked like he was really running a decent fascist show.
Okay. Well, I mean, I just think that everything he does, all the gaffes, the falling off the bike, the tripping on the stairs.
I cannot agree with you. Lately, I agree. The first year, no. He was a commander of the fascist train. We had the shutdown of the Colonial Pipeline. We had an immediate excuse for it. They had tapping of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, directing it to China. He was a man in command. After a year and a half, it looked like the wheels started coming off the wagon. People were inconsistent. A lot of criticism, a lot of focus on his treason with documents and probably weapon systems sold to China. A lot of things have happened. And lately, we've had a remarkable, important event with JP Morgan being thrust into the spotlight for DataCore, the database for Chinese bribery and treason, and for JP Morgan in the focus for all the Epstein money management. And as a result, JP Morgan has flipped. Jamie Dimon has flipped, and he's looking pretty, I wouldn't say frail, but he's looking rather worn. He's looking older. I remember when I in 2003, four, when I started the newsletter. By the way, next month is the 20th anniversary of the newsletter.
Wow, congratulations.
When I started this, I remember Jamie Dimon. He was a spry looking, 50 something year old executive with experience. Well, isn't it interesting that with DataCore and the Epstein Enterprises, Jamie Dimon could not say, I didn't know anything about that. No, not sorry, doesn't work, doesn't wash. I think Obama, okay, here's another big important point. I don't want to forget this. Do you remember about a year ago, Susan Rice resigned? From what post? Yeah,
I don't
I
remember.
know. I don't know.
I don't remember.
Obama advisor on domestic affairs.
Okay, I wouldn't have guessed that one.
Nuland was Obama's advisor on foreign affairs. That's how they divided it. Susan Rice exited, and at that point, it was about a year and a quarter ago, maybe a year and a half. At that point, it was late 2022, early 2023. I thought O'Biden was getting his strings cut, the puppet strings. Now, just imagine a scenario where they interrupt the instructions from Obama to Biden. They interrupt it. We don't know exactly the chain of command there. We don't know. And they've had a long time to discover that connection, the puppet strings. Maybe they interrupted them. Maybe they replaced some of them to give Biden even more stupid instructions. Maybe they removed Biden, who was getting the instructions, the masked man Biden, the puppet Biden, who was getting the instructions from Obama, and they put in someone else who was not getting instructions from Obama. Maybe they have, for the last several months, someone who's taking instructions from the White Alliance to make things look as absurd as possible running up to the election. Okay,
Well, my suspicion all along is that it's actually the white hats that are doing the puppeteering, but you know.
I think not all along. Not all. I divide the Biden show in half. Okay. By the end of 2022, things began to break, and you could say the wheels began to fall off the wagon, the fascist wagon of the Biden show. That's when Susan Rice backed out. No one was really even clear about what Susan Rice did. Okay.
Why does he keep renewing these executive orders then? That's been one of my questions as well. Why would you continually renew these executive orders that are designed to incriminate you?
That's why another reason I'm glad you brought that out. I'm not a real expert on that, but I believe that when the harmful executive orders are renewed, then it is to guarantee the exposure of the fascist parade by the Biden show. It tells me that deals are being cut. For all we know, the Secretary of State, who's that clown? Blinken? Yep. Winken, blinken, and nod. That's all I can think of when I hear of Secretary of State Blinken, the fake.
Yep.
Maybe he's been given instructions. You will do the following or we'll hang you in January of 2025. I think a number of people have been told we'll hang you in January of 25. And we're going to be full force because of what you did on the January 6th, you know, events, the torture events. And we don't even know where those poor people are being, you know, sequestered and imprisoned and tortured. I don't want to talk about that. That's an entire, I just bring that up quickly, but I don't.
Some of them had their sentences cut recently, which is good news, obviously.
We don't even know how many have been sentenced.
Yeah, there's
we
a lot of secrecy around that.
Arrested. Yep. We don't know much of anything.
Yep.
This is a fascist ploy. We're seeing a demo of fascism. They're redefining democracy and calling it democracy, but it's really fascism. They're trying to establish the fair voting process, but it's a corrupt mail-in ballot voting process. They're using NGOs, which is non-government organizations, with taxpayer, you know, federal funding to operate, to smear Trump. Okay, they're using the federal mechanisms in a fascist manner, and they're using NGOs, which are not supposed to be politically affiliated. But everything is politically affiliated. The FBI and Justice Department are weaponized. And, you know, I had a real turn, Patrick, in early 2020. I realized I've got to become a bit of a medical and health expert. I must become a medical and health somewhat expert. I have to understand the gene therapy. I have to understand the messenger RNA. I have to understand the immune system destruction. You know, what is it? Chromosome 23, they call it the God chromosome, the God gene. I had to understand the various symptoms and understand the technicalities of COVID data. I had to understand the adverse reaction, vaccine adverse reaction database. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then a year later, I have to understand the political side. So now the newsletter has mixed in all the finance, banking, economics, global trade. It had to mix in the health and medical side. And I like to point out that the Rockefellers received $1.3 trillion from Medicare and Medicaid, and that's a very big reason to keep the government going. And the military contractors get $840 billion. So that's a really good reason to continue the government and pressure the government not to fold, not to shut down, and to continue. Okay, that's where you cross the line from politics into finance. Okay? And, you know, that's medical crossing over also. Medicare, Medicaid, Rockefeller. Okay, I'm overwhelmed with the finance, economics, the health and medical, and now the politics. And I got to repeat, because this is really important. The Florida wingman confirmed that the Brunson case was ruled in favor of Brunson in October of 22. And it is a wild card that the White Alliance can play anytime they choose. And I surmised with the wingman that the White Alliance instructed the Supreme Court to support Biden regarding the open borders in Texas, even though they came up with an unconstitutional decision. The reason was to force, how do you say, the dissension among states led by Texas. They wanted Texas to lead the way. This is my opinion. The White Alliance command wanted Texas to lead the way because they've got Biden on a violation of an article of the Constitution. and they got other states behind them. So it could be, let's just add to the pressure here, Patrick. It could be several states led by Texas threatening secession unless Biden renounces his presidency. And that would work toward defusing the civil disorder pressure.
Okay. All right.
Let's move away from politics.
Sure. Yeah, we can pivot here. Do you have an area that you want to dive into, or do you want me to just kind of throw a question at you, or do you have things you want to talk about?
You had a few questions. What are you
sure.
just?
Yeah, yeah.
Away.
I can. Well, let me just kind of, talk about what we've seen happen recently, and you can just kind of give us your thoughts. So we have, I think it was on the 11th, it was a few days ago, if I'm not mistaken, that the bank term lending program, which was put into place, I think it was about a year ago. I think it was right after Silicon Valley, if I'm not mistaken. That expired, right?
Might actually be close to a one-year anniversary, and that could be why they picked that date.
Okay. Yeah, very interesting. 3/11 is a very interesting date because we've been talking about 11/3 with the law of war. So I think that's kind of interesting.
3/11 is also Fukushima date.
And yeah, as well. Yeah, it's a very it's a big cabal power date. Let's just put it that way. We've got U.S. bank profits down 44% in Q4. We've got, of course, New York. What is it? New York Community Bank Corp. That was actually being rescued by Mnuchin's private equity firm. And then we also came to find out that
Mnuchin, good luck.
And he also now he's putting in a bid to buy TikTok, which I think is very interesting as well. I don't know if you've really looked into that, but that's a really interesting scenario. So there's that. There's also we've got Jerome Powell saying we're going to get more banks failing, particularly the commercial real estate exposure. There's just a lot of stuff going on. Major stock sell-offs at the end of 2023, Zuckerberg, Gates, and Bezos, according to my information here, sold off something like $11 billion. So we've got some very interesting developments, and I'm just curious, you and I have been talking for a long time now about the treasury bond crisis, the debt crisis. Now it's every 4 months, they're adding another $1 trillion to the debt. And I do recall from one of our previous conversations, you had said that the straw that could really break the camel's back, so to speak, is the payouts on these low maturity treasury bond yields that go back to 2018. So I'm just curious if you have any updates on that, or if you can just kind of paint a picture for us about, what you're seeing happening here, the most up-to-date Jim Willey financial analysis of where we're at. Because it seems to me, I mean, you talked about the wheels falling off. I mean, heck, they're falling off everywhere. They're falling off of planes now, too. There's also the whole Boeing thing going on, but that's a whole separate story. But it seems to me like, we're kind of running out of real estate here. And I'm curious, how do you see this, all the things that we just talked about, these possibilities about how the election year could shape up, how do you see the financial situation coinciding with that?
Well, let's get a couple of things on the table here. You mentioned the, let's just call them the elite devils. They sold $11 billion worth of stock. We're talking about Zuckerberg. We're talking about Facebook, Bezos of Amazon, Jamie Dimon of his own JP Morgan stock, but not much stock there. And there are a couple of others in there. Bill Gates of Microsoft. I cannot think of a better reason to argue the case that they're going to continue to prop up the stock market because the elites want to dump their stocks. And $11 billion is a drop in the bucket.
Oh, sure. In the grand scheme of things. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree. But did you hear that Zuckerberg, I mean, not Zuckerberg, but Gates, I heard Gates sold off something like 65% of his holdings. I don't know if that's accurate, but I heard.
I'm not focused so much on Gates because the guy ordering the Gates stock sales is version 3.
Yeah, I don't think they're the real person. I should probably stipulate that.
Another version that was at the Indian Wells tennis the last 2 days, tennis in California, We've got version 3 or version 4 of Gates. I'm not focused on Gates much. I'm focused on Bezos and Zuckerberg. They're big. They're big sellers. Notice that Elon Musk did not sell. And if he did, I didn't hear about it.
Yeah, I didn't.
Okay, I repeat the point. I can't think of a better argument to make for expecting that the stock market is going to remain propped up because the elites are selling. They're not going to permit a big decline of 20-30% in the stock market and continue to be selling. They're going to keep it propped up and they're going to sell to fools. Okay? Fools are buying. There's always a fool around the corner willing to buy the stupid argument that is put forth. There's a fool born every minute. Okay. Regarding the Bank Term Funding Program, I've been calling this the vestibule, the waiting room for bankruptcy. Okay, let's make a favorable scenario, not so much a scenario, but a favorable description of what that's all about.
Okay.
The federal government, the Department of Treasury, instituted this Bank Term Funding Program, and they were giving loans against full value, book value, not considering losses from the market decline. And many of these securities are treasury bonds and related securities that have lost 40 to 50%. But you could borrow 100% against them. In other words, it's a giveaway.
Yep.
Okay, they needed to end the giveaway because it got to be a large part of the deficit. Okay, if you've got a huge $750 billion unrealized bank asset losses, then a big piece of that associated with that, hitched along with that, is the Bank Term Funding Program where you can borrow more than its value.
Mm-hmm.
So they needed to stop that. It was bleeding and it was getting too big. It was growing up exponentially, so they stopped it. And I think they stopped it right around their one-year anniversary. And the one thing that's not talked about much regarding the Silicon Valley Bank is that the depositors were made whole partly because they had a lot of Chinese depositors. That was a very popular bank for the Chinese living in California, operating, say, in important positions in technology firms. And I'd like to leave that alone, partly because I don't know much more than that.
Okay.
Okay, now let's look at the negative side, the negative perspective of shutting down the Bank Term Funding Program. It could be a combination of the black hats saying, we're going to wreck the system and try to install our devices, like the CBDC. But it could also be the white hat saying, we're going to scuttle the system so that we can force Biden to step down.
Okay.
If we've got a bank crisis and it is combined with a treasury bond crisis, that could be enough to force Biden to step down. I don't mean not run for the presidency the next second term. I mean, step down as president. Like I screwed up. I'm gonna leave you the mess, and I'm gonna leave my mask and all. I'd love to see that speech. He's getting weaker and weaker in his speech making rather. Okay, back to continue on the bad scenario. We could be seeing the scuttling of the bank system and blaming it on the commercial real estate side as a battle between the black hats and the white hats to take control. Scuttle the system, and now you got a contest. Who is going to take control of the banking system? And you'll know that it is the white hats. I'm not going to say if, I'm going to say when, because I think we've already got control, given the JP Morgan card. People know that the white hats are in control when they say that all the depositors are going to be made whole. And then you're going to have a big debate. Wait a minute. You could be talking about $3 trillion worth of FDIC backup. That's exactly what I'm saying. What's another $3 trillion on 34? 37. Who gives a shit? It's all broken. We got to make the citizens whole, including my incredibly moronic brother, who's got large accounts in Chase, Citi, and Bank of America.
Oof. Like the three worst choices.
It's impossible to justify his stupidity. He never watches my podcast, and he never has read my newsletter. I gave him a free subscription, and he never read a single one. Okay, he's not a student of finance or economics or politics, in my opinion, even though Phi Beta Kappa.
Can I ask you this? Can
go
I make
ahead.
A interject
More
really
about
quickly?
The banks. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you get right back to it. But, you know, since you talked about, you know, we've been talking about this possibility that fake Biden is going to just step down on his own. Right. And we've kind of joked about, you know, sort of the Scooby-Doo ending where, you know, he pulls off the mask or somebody pulls off the mask, which would be, you know, fantastic. But I guess my question is that if we do see Biden step down, let's just hypothetical here. Let's just say you're right. And Biden at some point, because of the political situation like we've been talking about tonight, whether it's, you know, having to do with the border, having to do with, you know, the financial crisis, for whatever reason, decides he's going to step down.
Secession.
Who? Okay, so if that happens, who does Jim Willie interpret that as giving the order for Biden to step down? Because clearly he wouldn't be making that decision on his own.
I don't think it's the Democrats and the Democrat National Committee. I don't think they're the ones making that kind of decision.
I don't either, but I'm curious more in terms of black.
Well, that leaves the other side, the White Alliance Command. And that's what they're calling it, the White Alliance Command. And they've got a White Alliance military, too, by the way, with about 22 nations participating. Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of the confiscations have come. I haven't mentioned this, but this pertains to the banking. I've been told that it's a few hundred trillion dollars that has been confiscated from the elites and the trillionaires. Okay, mm-hmm. We're talking very, very big money here.
Was that in relation to that rather cryptic email you sent me today about
Yamashita Gold?
Yamashita Gold, the Golden Lily Trust, the Black Eagle Trust. Did you want to talk about that, or can you talk about that?
I can mention it. We can get to that.
Okay. All right. Sorry, I don't mean to derail you.
We can get to that in a little while here, because there's still some ground to cover here.
Yep.
The big banks are all insolvent, and they have been for, I believe, 2 years. Now, a lot of people don't even know what that means. It's just throwing a word around. But when I throw a word around, I follow it up by defining it and telling the consequences. If you've got a big bank that's insolvent, then they're not in a position to lend that additional big loan. If someone makes an application for a $20 million loan to establish a product line, forget about it. They're not going to get it. If someone is looking to do a rollover of a $22 million commercial real estate mortgage, it's not going to happen. So the insolvent big bank is lost as a lending institution for the economy. If we've got a lot of banks that are insolvent, we've got a depression that's getting worse. And I don't mince words. We're not in a recession. We're in a depression. Mm-hmm. We got, I just like to say this in a repeated fashion. If you heard it 20 times from me before, then now it's 21. We say the price inflation is 4% or 5%, it's 7% higher. We say the economy is at a stall. Let's just say zero. That means it's minus 7%. You go to the shadow government statistics and you look at the pre-Clinton CPI, compare it to the current, and it's always 6 to 7 or 8% differential. We're lying about economic growth by about 7%. We're in a 7% depression with inflation, otherwise known as an inflationary depression. That is what happens when you're approaching a bond default.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got $8 trillion in long-dated, long maturity bonds that are maturing this year that need to be refunded. $8 trillion. Like, consider them to be like 7, 10 year or more. And we got another $2 trillion of short-term,
mm-hmm.
like 1 year, 2 year, 6 months, 3 months. I mean, if it was 3 months ago they issued a treasury bill, then okay, it's time again to refund it. I don't mean like refund like you take a shirt back and you get your money. No. This is a maturing bond. Like when I was a kid, we had U.S. savings bonds. Mm-hmm. I had a paper out and I used to buy these $500 U.S. savings bond and they would cost like $420 and you wait 5 years and you get $500. Okay, that's refunding. Okay, these people like South Korea, they're going to come with $10 billion to the table and say, we want $10 billion. We got a matured bond. The 10 years are up. We want our money. And we issued, the Department of Treasury issued the bond. So we're obligated by global law to provide the money. And what we usually do is what we've been doing for year after year after year after year is we find new buyers to buy the 10-year bond. And that money goes to Korea to
pay them off.
And we don't have that anymore. But there has been an interesting sequence of events in the last few weeks, just the last few weeks. It was about 3 weeks ago. We had some short-term treasury bill issuances and auctions, and they all had a final bond bill yield, treasury yield, a final yield of over the Fed funds rate, which told me we can't cut rates because like a 6 month treasury bill had an auction and it resulted in a final yield above the Fed funds. Now they're a little bit below. But this is a very volatile, dangerous, tragic situation. We're now seeing the Treasury's yields go up again on the long-dated 10-year. I think we're starting to see a perception. We're starting to witness a perception where the bond market believes that we're going to get more price inflation and we're likely to see rate hikes, not rate cuts. I'm in the camp of rate hikes, but this is very ugly, very corrupt. They might do a rate cut in order to produce the stock market rally so that more $10 billion stock tranches can be sold for Bezos, Gates, Zuckerberg, and Diamond, and a few others. So get a rate cut when they know it's the wrong thing to do,
mm-hmm.
just so we can get the stock rally. Get a little bond rally, buy some time. But what they're doing, and this is the opinion of a couple of my sharpest colleagues, they're developing a slingshot, and it's going to be rapidly rising interest rates on the 10-year, the long bond, rapidly rising. I think by the time we get to autumn, we might be close to 5% because things have gone wrong. But there's something really important, Patrick, and it's the Exchange Stabilization Fund, the ESF.
Oh, you're actually going to talk about that?
Well, I'm just going to say they might tap it. It might have $10 to $15 trillion in it. they might tap it in order to reduce the bond yields and bring about a stock rally.
To your knowledge, are they still getting in revenue into the ESF, or are they would this just be draining the coffers at this point? Are they still
draining
getting
coffers? If it's a $15 trillion coffer, they could drain $1 trillion and not even blink.
No, I mean, are they getting more money coming into the ESF, to your knowledge? Been cut off.
Okay. The main income source for the ESF was
OPEC,
like a 20 or 25% tax on all OPEC oil sales in dollar terms, and there are none.
Okay, so that answers my question there.
I think it has ended.
Okay,
I'd rather not talk about the ESF except to say that if the Democrats want to present a scenario of a healthy bond market and therefore a rising stock market, vote Democrat because they're tapping the ESF. That's an option. But let me put the other side to that. Whatever they use, they cannot steal.
Well, you know, you said a little while ago that they're not going to allow that. They're going to keep the stock market propped up. They're not going to allow the stock market to crash. And I just kind of wrote back. I wrote down here because a lot of times I take notes when you're talking. At what point do they lose the ability to control what's going on? And is that, you know, I mean, like, what is the real kill shot where they finally lose control to be able to play, where they can't play these games anymore?
Well, I don't have a great answer for that, but I do believe that in December and probably in January, I don't think January had any bond auctions. January is kind of a month where they say, let's just get things in order. And they didn't even have an FOMC meeting in January. They had, I'm sorry, maybe it was very late January they had a meeting. There was a lot of stir that the Department of Treasury was handing money to our friends in order to bid on treasuries.
Yep.
And then they're playing games with the tick report, which has foreign holdings of treasuries. And it's not very well known as a result how much is natural, honest bond bidding and purchase. I believe we're doing hidden monetization. And if you're doing hidden monetization, then you're probably doing hidden refunding, like the Exchange Stabilization Fund taking up the slack. And I've got this little quick example that I bring to the table. In October, November, December, we had a record-breaking volume of dumped treasury bond by foreign central banks and monarchy wealth funds.
Mm-hmm.
We also had a lot of issuance. And I'd like to get some explanation. How did the Fed reduce their balance sheet during that? A record amount of foreign dumping, which we at the Treasury are obligated to take, and they put it on the Fed balance sheet. And we had very few buyers. So how do they reduce the balance sheet? I say the Exchange Stabilization Fund.
It seems to me like it always comes back to that. The ESF seems like their ace in the hole. And that's why I asked that question. If that coffer isn't being refilled with more of that OPEC revenue, and they have to, and they're forced to dip into that,
any oil revenue. Saudi broke that a year ago. They went to the yuan standard for Asian sales. They've been defiant. They did not even acknowledge the presence of Blinken when he came to visit a year ago or 9 months ago in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. UAE has been doing deals that counter the dollar. They're working with the BRICS for de-dollarized options for trade payment. Okay, this is all falling apart. But let me remind people, the ESF could have $15 trillion. Which is almost half the entire debt. They can buy a lot of time.
Yep.
I would like to know, this is the unanswered question, and then I'd rather, you know, we move to the next topic.
Sure.
Unanswered question. Did the White Alliance take control of the ESF? And I know for my own background, and okay, I can't say for a fact. I just say I know from my own background and my own way of thinking. The New York Fed controls the ESF. They've got the 15 trillion, could be 12, could be 11.7. I don't know. I don't care. It's a big number. If the White Alliance controls that, what are they going to do with it? I think they prevent a bond default. So we could be seeing not just the black hats trying to prevent a bond default. We could be seeing the white hats trying to prevent a bond default. And you know, this is like nationalism. The nationalists don't want a crisis in the bond market. The fascists from the New World Order, they don't either, because it destroys the pig at the trough. Okay, these are amazing times.
And they, but I mean, even if they do roll in there, even if they got what they wanted with their CBDC, they would still need this infrastructure behind it, right? It wouldn't be just be a matter of, well, they could just do away with
Need
the
an
debt.
orderly transition, because we got about $7 trillion of treasury bonds owned outside our borders. We need an orderly transition, and nobody's talking about it. Nobody's even mentioning narcotics money laundering at Bank of America. No one's talking about a bond default. I'm saying that by summertime, we're going to have a buzz, a discussion, a debate. Are we or are we not facing a bond default? No, we're not in this. No. And others, yeah, we are. Obviously, we are. We're going up a trillion every 100 days. We got a Ponzi. I just heard a report that said 20 something years ago, the military and the Congress got together and said, don't worry about deficits, just let it go. We're going to default. It's a
Really?
lock. We're going to default. In fact, what is a technical default? But say South Korea coming with $10 billion of long-dated treasuries, and we tell them, screw you, we'll give you $7 billion worth of your own domestic currency. That is a technical bond default. And I think we've been there for 2 years.
Yeah, they've
So
been doing the haircuts like you've been talking about, which is technically
haircut is a
default.
default.
Yeah,
Okay,
absolutely. All
so
right.
you know, we've got to keep the wheels on the wagon, Patrick, so that we can have a transition without a civil war. We have to keep the wheels on the wagon so that we can have continued trade with the United States and not an embargo. We have to have the wheels stay on the wagon so foreign central banks are redeemed in an orderly fashion. We have to have the wheels on the wagon so that Trump can come back and we can have a transition to a new economy with, say, some Tesla intellectual property and patents handed out and sold and doled out or whatever,
Thousands of them.
and have it not in scorched earth. Okay,
Sense.
both sides have a motive to keep the system running. The black hats want the government to continue because the Rockefellers have 1.3 trillion with Medicare and Medicaid. The black hats want the government to continue because the military contractors have $840 billion in a budget. You think they're going to want to forego $70 billion a month? You think they're going to want to forego over $2 billion a day? No, we need to keep the wheels on the wagon. And that's, I think, part of the motivation with the white hats, the White Alliance command. I think they've been taking control of one Biden official after the other. I think Austin is long gone at defense. I think Blinken has been controlled. He had to let Nuland go. Well, you don't let Nuland go when she's really running the show, unless you have Blinken also under control, because he's the puppet.
Agree.
Then you got others. You got some real scum, like what is it, Garland
Merrick Garland, yeah, DOJ.
Yeah, at Justice. You know, I think we got a real big target right now. I can't think of her last name, but it's Deanna, the leader of the FEMA. Can't think of her last name. I think she's a real big target right now. And she's underground from what I heard. Do you have her name?
I'm looking it up right now. Give me one second. She's
FEMA head Deanna something.
FEMA head. Hold on one second here. We got Deanna Criswell.
What's that again?
Deanna Criswell, it looks like.
Criswell, yeah.
Criswell, yeah.
Okay. Criswell, she's been involved in the Panhandle dewdrops. She's been involved in the Maui dewdrops. These are not forest fires.
Oh, yeah.
Forest fires do not leave trees intact in the center median of avenues. That's your hint.
So you think this one's the next one on the list?
I think so, but she's very elusive.
Why is that?
She's underground.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I think you said that. I was looking her up. I think I lost my focus for a moment there. Okay, so she's underground. They're trying to track her down.
It's hard to track her down. Yeah. She also has a bunch of FBI who put on FEMA uniforms. So we got the FEMA and FBI working together as Mutt and Jeff, kind of as the Gestapo.
Okay.
And for those who don't understand, NATO had its original group of generals a long time ago, around 1950. NATO generals were all, almost all, Nazi army generals. Okay?
Part of Paperclip.
No, I'm not talking about Paperclip. That's the entrance into the United States. We took the German Wehrmacht and hired them to run NATO.
Oh, okay. All right.
We took the German army and took their top brass and hired them to run NATO.
Gotcha. All right. Well, that makes sense. I mean, it's pretty consistent with what they did with Paperclip anyway.
Well, yeah,
the entire Nazi
domestic avenue,
yeah.
You know, come one, come all. And you know, for people who don't understand it, it's not 10 people. That's not 10 Nazis. It was more like 2,000.
Yeah, thousands. Yeah.
It wasn't Werner von Braun and his family. It was everyone he knew, plus a couple dozen bankers, plus a couple dozen pharmaceutical executives, plus a couple other dozen technology types, you know, like electrical engineer types.
Plus their MK Ultra specialists, they brought over all that stuff here. That's
they brought their entire staff.
Yep.
The families and their staffs. And
yep.
Then some of the families for the staffs. Because what happened was you didn't bring in a pharmaceutical CEO from Germany. He said, no, I have three vice presidents who have worked with me for the last 10 years. And they have two assistants each. And they have families.
Yep.
Well, there's 30. Okay, this Operation Paperclip was a grand betrayal to bring in Nazis into the United States, who one generation later started the infiltration with Papa Bush.
Yep. That's right. And the minute they brought them all in there, they established the CIA right away. 1947, right?
Well, with Paperclip, that was late 1940s. It was the OSS, with the Office of Something Services, Office
Secret,
of Security Services. Services, something like that. I just saw it the other day, what OSS stood for. So half the CIA was the OSS, domestic, and the other half of the CIA was the German Gestapo. Okay, this is real treason. And Wall Street funded German Nazi war machine. London and Wall Street funded them. Okay. This is the root. Okay, when I say that we've got a fascist state, I'm referring to Nazi Germany changing residents.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And people need to understand this because it's a real bitter, big pill to swallow.
Sure is. It sure is. Well, you know, Jim, I mentioned, since we're on the topic of history here, World War II specifically, I did mention Yamashita's gold and the Black Eagle Trust. I mean, this could be a way to segue into that if you want to touch upon that.
Yeah, I'm done with the other stuff. I'm kind of worn out.
Okay, well, we can wrap up after this if you want.
No, I don't mean to cut off. I'm just saying it's tough talking about the politics.
Sure. Yeah.
And it's tough talking about the bond market. These are full of uncertainties, full of risk, and a lot of lives are at risk, including the life of our nation. Okay. I am getting more and more information, and I'm not going to say that it's a flood. I'm saying it's a pretty steady trickle. I've known about Yamashita Gold for a long time. I heard about it before I started the newsletter in 2004. Yamashita Gold was pretty much a century of Imperial Japan's theft of central banks, museums, banks, and elite vaults all across Asia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all of the above, not just raiding the central banks like the Nazis did in Europe or World War II. Yamashita went into museums, they went into temples, they went into individual vaults. They were unbelievably cruel, murdering thousands, if not millions. Okay, when it looked like the Japanese were about to cave in, Yamashita was a general, and what he did was he built about 7 or 8 tunnel systems in the Philippines and buried, I shouldn't say buried, stored a boatload of gold. I'm told it was 115,000 tons. Okay, remember, Fort Knox was 8,500. So what he buried, if it was 120,000, that's like 14 Fort Knoxes. Okay. It Great. Was so much gold that they had to put it in 7 or 8 locations. And Yamashita was so cruel that he murdered all the people who constructed the vaults. He murdered them all. Kill the engineers. When the United States took control of the Pacific, they overran the Philippines, and they made deals with Marcos. And there's a very interesting fact that I'm really not a big expert in this, but I get bits and pieces, so I do the best I can. Marcos was given a role. He was told, you've got this 120,000 tons of gold from Yamashita, but you've got a lot of other gold that we've entrusted you with. And I've been told it's 1.3 million tons.
Whoa.
So Yamashita was just 1/10 of it. Wow. There is a lot of gold out there. And it's interesting that it's in the Pacific Rim. They've got, okay, just think of the Pacific Rim is like being 100 times larger than the Caribbean. We like the Caribbean because you got a few islands. Well, the globalists like the Pacific Rims because they got 5,000 islands.
Mm-hmm.
And they got 1 billion people populating them. I mean, do Americans know that Malaysia has 250 million people? Do Americans know that Indonesia has almost the same? That's 500 million people.
Yeah.
Do Americans know anything much about the Pacific Rim? Okay, I'm here just to mention, with my somewhat incomplete information, I've had pictures of the gold in the Philippines given to me. I had some that were photographs and then digital pictures of the photographs. I mean, like the Polaroids, digitalized pictures of digital photos of the paper photos. And there's a lady, and I cannot think of her nickname, but it's sort of like not grandma. I can't, gosh, I'm embarrassed. I cannot think of her name, but she's got a $270 billion Canadian bank account. And she is the executor of the Marcos Gold. She is a very important player. Mama something. Oh, I can't think of her name. It's been several months since I've touched that.
I wish I could help you out, but I...
Okay. Imelda Marcos is not a player. Now, I don't think you are old enough, Patrick, but in the late 70s and early 80s, Imelda Marcos was under a lot of criticism because the Black Hats threw Marcos under the bus and they arrested him. And I don't know, might have been a fake death. Imelda lost her shoe collection. Okay, this is a really weird story. But Mama, I'm just going to call her Mama because I cannot think of her nickname. She has four names. She's a trillionaire. She's bigger than the Rockefellers. And she commands, as an executor, a lot of gold. And I think she has been making friends with Donald Trump.
Is this individual of Asian descent, or are they Canadian?
She's Philippine.
Philippine, okay.
She's the real wife of Marcos, Ferdinand Marcos. Imelda, from what I understand, is the mistress.
Okay.
To take a deflection of attention.
Okay. Ah,
this
right.
Mama, the Philippine Mama, I'm sorry, that's the best I can do. I'm
trying to do searches over here to see if we can find our name, but keep going.
You're not going to find much.
Probably won't find it, though.
I'm told it's 1.3 million tons. I'm told it's in maybe a dozen or more mountain vaults. It's the largest collection of gold in the world that we know. But, okay, the reason I bring up this entire story is to put some meat on the bones that the Philippines has a lot of gold, not just the Yamashita, which the Americans took control of. Okay. When Marcos was thrown under the bus, the White Hats came in and saved some lives and made the connection. And there have been wars, very small-scale wars, where attorneys are murdered. Neil Keenan was murdered. Neil Keenan. Accountants are murdered. Executors are murdered. Their attorneys are murdered. Kissinger's behind the murders. The fact that Kissinger was announced to be dead is very important fact. That means that the Pacific Gold War has been won.
Oh.
And these are not typical ways of thinking. It means that we've got the foundation for the new dollar. But there's a condition. You've got to get rid of the entire Biden show. You got to get rid of all of them. You got to get them out of the defense. You got to get them out of the military. You got to get them out of the banks. You got to get them out of everywhere. You got to get them out of the National Health Institute. You got to get them out of the CDC. You got to get them out of the Rockefellers. You got to get them out of everywhere.
So that we can't coexist with these people. That's really the condition. They have to be. They
yes,
have to.
Yes, go. Yes. And okay. You got to get the Chinese out of Silicon Valley. This is very deep, very deep. Okay, so we've got the gold. We got the commander in chief. What we don't have is a path and a clear room for him to occupy. It's still full of corrupt scum. And they're all fascists and they're all killers and they're all criminals. And they're getting rid of them one by one. I think I mentioned this last time, but they're operating on a one by one basis to remove the corrupt generals who are in charge as commanders on U.S. military bases on U.S. soil.
Mm-hmm.
And it's another reason to make it a slow process. We don't have the majority of the U.S. bases cleaned up yet. And we're not going to do anything toward forcing Biden out until we have the majority of the U.S. location bases and their commanders replaced, get the Biden loyalists out, and get the constitutional generals in. This is not an easy task. It's one of the biggest reasons it's taking a long time. Wow. Okay. Black Eagle Trust, that is an entirely different, gigantic gold trove. I do not know its volume. The Golden Lily Fund was something that the U.S. military built up. I think it's separate from the Yamashita, but I'm not certain about that. The Golden Lily Fund was considered it. Look at it this way. I saw some photos, and it was General MacArthur and some of his officers looking over an entire section of gold bars. I mean, a section that you might think, well, that's like straight out of Fort Knox. Okay, these were like Japanese hidey holes that had, say, 50 tons of gold. There were lots and lots of them. Okay, remember we were doing the island hopping to get closer and closer to Tokyo, launching raids. Every island had gold on them. And there were hundreds of them that we captured. Okay, that is the basis, I believe, of the Black Eagle Gold. And, you know, I really am not interested for people to tell me that I'm full of shit when they don't know anything. And there are others, another side of well-meaning people who say, Jim, let me help fill in the blanks for some of the names. Like someone's going to write to me and say, Jim, the name of it was Mommy Whatever for the wife of Marcos, and she's still alive. They've been protecting her. And she's in her 70s or late 70s now. Okay, so Black Eagle Gold was a gigantic gold fund. I'm not certain it was Japanese. I think it was Pacific Rim. It was a lot of different gold that was captured. You mean when we took over an island like say Christmas Island or Midway or whatever islands, it wasn't really important that they were, well, it was important for the military sense that they were Japanese or not. But if they found a lot of gold, they put it in to the Black Eagle Trust or something like that, the Golden Lily. I've been hearing about Golden Lily for 30 years. I've been hearing about Yamashita over 20 years. I've been hearing about Black Eagle Trust in the same breath as Neil Keenan, who was murdered and replaced by a lookalike to try to falsify documents and steal trillions. Okay, in a recent article that I read, they mentioned that it was well over $100 trillion worth of gold in these big troves. Well over $100 trillion. Fort Knox was not quite $1 trillion. Okay, we're talking about a lot of gold. And what I'm hearing is that the gold is going to be made available for a global, monetary, strong, legitimate foundation on condition that the Five Eyes all renounce England, let's call it United Kingdom, Canada, United States, Australia, and New Zealand. They all have to renounce. They have to get off their horses. They need to step down from their posts, maybe even have like new constitutional congresses to figure out how they're going to proceed. The British royals have been tarnished badly. They killed off the fake King Charles. That was to facilitate the passage of I call it the 15 trillion of the British royal funds. Okay, the Queen is dead. Prince Philip, what's his name? Prince Charles is dead. So they brought on a new Prince Charles. made him king, and now he's dead. I mean, this is ridiculous. They're killing off the guy who facilitated the movement of somewhere like 15, maybe $20 trillion of British royal money. What are the British assets? Half of London.
Mm-hmm.
My aunt was British. And she explained to me how it worked. You buy a property, you got a 40-year lease. When the 40 years are up, you own nothing.
All goes
so
back
what you
to
do
the
is you got 5 years left, you sell the lease, and somebody starts another 40-year lease. So the royals get to sell the same property over and over and over again. Millions, billions, office buildings. So that's what they wanted the fake Prince Charles, elevated as King Charles, to do. That was his job. And he was told, if you don't do it, we're going to murder you. And your reward, if you do it right, is we're going to have a fake death. Okay. People who don't understand fake killings, you're the dumbest in the room.
Can I ask you a question since we're on the UK, and then we can sort of, you know, maybe start to wind it down a little bit since this was
right.
big news. What was your reaction to the public announcement of Jacob Rothschild?
Simple. Kissinger died 2 years ago, and they announced it as a few months ago. How many times is Jacob Rothschild going to die? That was my reaction.
Well, he really died back in 2017 was my best information. But
yeah.
I'm curious though, you know, the in terms of reading the chessboard, so to speak, the significance of it, they're announcing it.
Let's make this two sides.
Okay.
One is, did they actually die a while ago? I think, yeah. Okay. So now the tougher question. Why do they announce their death now?
Mm-hmm.
Because they lost. We won. And the next domino to fall will be Biden renouncing president. I don't know when it's going to happen. I hope it's at the convention with the biggest audience and the biggest negative impact for the cabal.
Mm.
I don't want him to renounce tomorrow. I want him to wait more and make it absolutely impossible for the Democrats to produce a viable candidate. This is very complex and very ugly. Okay, I heard Jacob Rothschild died several years ago. I heard that there was a helicopter incident in England. And I don't know if you heard this, Patrick, but it was a few months later that word got out that the private plane that crashed into the helicopter did it intentionally, and the pilot had terminal cancer, and he was performing an act toward humanitarian purposes.
Really? So it was a suicide mission? I hadn't heard about that.
Mission, and that meant that it had to be well coordinated. He had to get intel of who was on that helicopter. I'm not talking about a small helicopter. I'm talking about a helicopter that can hold like six or eight people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, Marine One, that's for the White House. Mm-hmm. Marine One is the helicopter. Air Force One is for the president. Air Force Two is for the vice president. Biden is not riding Air Force One. Nobody's riding Air Force Two. This is really complex. Okay, so I did not know that Kissinger died 2 years ago. I got that from a good source. He said, Jim, I'm all over this. I said, well, under what circumstances did he die? And all he could say was, you know, he was getting up there. He was in his mid-90s. So it might have been a heart attack, might have been a stroke, might have, who knows? I mean, when you get over 90, you don't say, what was the cause of death? You say, well, it was old age.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my father died at 101. What did he die of? His heart
stopped. 101. Yeah.
His heart stopped.
Yeah. I mean, at that age, sure. Yeah.
And when did he die? I don't know. We think about 3 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got something very strange to say. I knew he was close. I don't want to break down here. I knew he was close to dying. And I got up with my typical 70-year-old guy taking a pee at 3 in the morning, you know? And there was a cockroach right in my path. And he scurried off. And I thought, Dad just died. Okay. When elite figures, when globalist figures die, they never tell us plebeians unless it's to their advantage. Or we're told for the exact 180 opposite, we won. And given the wind down of Ukraine, given the insolvency and brokenness of the banks and the treasury bond, given the incoherence of Biden, given the lack of candidates for the Democrats, given the exposure of Credit Suisse, given the breakdown of money laundering, given the extreme examples of dew drops in Maui, Acapulco, and the panhandle of Texas, I say we won and we forced them. We also have a voluntary suicide of a French Rothschild last year, and a deal struck. And I don't believe the White Alliance is going to honor the deal. And now we've got these strange reports that every American is going to have a very large sum of money as a bank account, as part of JSARA. Let me put some numbers on this. I heard 500,000 per adult citizen. If there are 200 million adult citizens, that's $100 trillion. Now, I worked that out. I'm prepared on that recital. That seems a bit high. $100 trillion is well over 100,000. I'm sorry. It's well over, oh gosh, $1 trillion is a little over 10,000 tons. So 100 trillion is 100 times that, 10,000 tons, 10 million tons. Okay, that's a lot of gold. I don't think we're going to be seeing $500,000, you and me. Okay, I'm just working the napkin math here. Will the United States be granted $100 trillion for the reset at a citizen level? I don't think so. I'd be really happy with 200,000. What I've been hearing is we're going to get a rebate on income tax. And okay, here's where it gets more interesting and intriguing. If it's a rebate of income tax, it'll come from the Vatican and not from the Yamashita and not from the Marcos Philippine and not from the Black Eagle Trust. And I believe the Golden Lily was more like a transfer fund rather than a trove. Okay, we've heard a lot of stories about 1,100 miles in a tunnel between Rome and Jerusalem by way of Istanbul. You know, going around the Mediterranean. We've heard a lot of stories that it's chest high, you know, 5 feet high, 6 feet deep, and 100 miles of gold. Okay. Maybe that is going to be monetized to put close to $500,000 per American citizen, adult, not child, adult, because only the adults have lived a portion or a full lifetime of tax fraud.
Wouldn't it be tiered too for the folks who are older who have been paying in to the system for longer? Wouldn't they get more or no?
I don't know. I've had that same question. I said to my guy who brought that up, it's not going to be a per capita fixed amount because you got some people like me who paid a lifetime into it. Right. You got others who are in their 30s and they've only paid like 6 or 10 years.
Right.
You said, I don't have an answer to that, Jim.
Okay.
So there might be two different things One would be a reset so that people will have a fresh start. And the other could be the income tax rebate. There might be two. Okay, this is very exciting, but I'm not a believer in unicorns. I don't buy the unicorn theory at all. I'm a very realistic person. And here's something to sink your teeth in regarding realistic versus silly. I could have been a professional in mathematics, but I chose to be a professional in probability and statistics. That's about as practical as you can get, because here's an analogy. Statistical analysts are like your mechanical engineers from the mathematics. We deal with projections, optimizations, inferences based on samples. The pure mathematicians have a real tough time getting a job. I've known a couple. And one I knew for, well, off and on for about 30 years, 25 years. And he took a job at a very low level university in the Midwest because he did not have US citizenship. And he was from Eastern Europe. I don't think it's any big deal. He was Romanian. And he was my friend. And he was a good guy. And after several years in Boston, he looked me up. And I do not know how he found me. I think he contacted my old Carnegie Mellon department because he knew my name. Anyway, he looked me up and said, "Jim, I finally got out of hell." I said, "What's that?" And he said, "West Virginia University." Okay. I'm not going to go into that.
Yeah, we can probably start to wind it down. We've been on for a couple hours, but up to
I've got
you.
that we're on for an hour and
Oh, you got a timer going there?
40 minutes.
Okay.
Anyway, this guy, he found a job with a bunch of Russians working in suburban Boston doing consulting work. So we got to speak his Russian. He was fluent in Russian, Romanian, and English. And he said, "Jim, I also know Hebrew." That's how he got out. He was Jewish. He was a refugee. Okay, these are very exciting times. I
Absolutely.
am really jazzed. But when we get to the climax, we have the highest risk of being killed.
Why do you
You
say
and I.
that? Why do you say that?
Because a bleeding, mortally wounded bear will attack with no limits.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Well,
I
let's
don't
hope we
even
all
want
make it to the other side.
to. I have to. We have to get to the other side, and there might be a lot of fire to cross to the other side. It might be full of poison water, poison air, flames, pestilence. Okay, we're seeing the panhandle. Okay, that's not the only example. We saw forest fire in British Columbia last year. It was 1 million acres. You can't even wrap your head around that. I'm not going to get into all the different ways that they can harm us. I'm going to focus on our victory and what we have to do to get to the other side. Investing in silver. I love silver. I think it's going to be one of the biggest gainers. There are a lot of really smart analysts out there who call it the bargain of the century. I agree with that completely. Don't worry that gold is getting up toward like 2200 something. Don't worry about that. Silver will follow. And when it does and gets over 30, 31, it's going to go to 50 in a flash. From 30 to 50 is a 67% move. And I guarantee you, when silver moves from 30 to 60, 30 to 50, gold will not go to 25, from 2500 to 4000. It will not. It'll continue upward. Silver is going to be the big, 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 big gainer, making a lot of people wealthy. Don't worry about that it weighs a lot. So what? Let it weigh down your basement.
All right. All right. Well, this was a great conversation, Jim. You hit it out of the park once again. So, folks, golden-jackass.com. And I mentioned the hat trick letter. You want to tell folks just a little bit? I have a lot of new listeners who, you know, this may be the first time they're hearing Jim Willie. So why don't you let them know about the website, what you do over there, and then we can part ways until the next time.
Okay. I'm just writing down some notes here. Marcos.
And by the way, I just got to kill my camera for a quick second, but I'm still here listening. So.
Okay. All right. It's golden-jackass.com. Next month is the 20th anniversary. I started this thing when I was 70. I'm sorry, when I was 52. I'm going to turn 72. I got a lot of energy. I'm still at this very eagerly. I've never had as many sources as I have in the last year. They seem to seek me out. My recent military contact is turning out to be rather rich in his information flow. I'm excited by that. He's a good guy, and we're in touch more frequently than before, and I like that. I still got a couple of other military sources. They're not as rich. I use them as sounding board. Does this sound make sense? I've got a couple of banker type sources, and they're very valuable to me. They keep me informed about what's happening with the bond market and banks. And there's a lot happening with banks and bonds. The way I like to describe it is we got a bond default happening, and the banks are caught in the middle. They're being destroyed. They're caught in the middle. And ironically, it was the doctors that killed them. So there's some battling going on between the bankers who are resentful for what the globalists did with their doctor agents. So that's a reason why JP Morgan, Jamie Dimon, might deliver globalist trillion-dollar accounts, because the globalists put the doctors on watch to destroy the banks. Now the banks are getting their revenge by turning in and sacking the globalists. This is very, very interesting and dangerous. But anyway, it's golden-jackass.com. There's only one newsletter, Patrick. So it's called the Hat Trick Letter. Big deal. I'm not a hockey fan, by the way. But and for those who don't understand, they use the term hat trick for soccer football. I just saw that the other day. Someone scored a hat trick for, I think, you know, Birmingham or, oh, I can't remember, Manchester United or something. Maybe it was Barcelona. I'm not sure. Anyway, I'm a soccer football fan. I played soccer in high school. 1 year, I was a left halfback, midfielder. Okay, so anyway, so what? Hat Trick Letter is the name of the newsletter. I got consult opportunities for people. Someone signed up just yesterday for that, so I'll be in touch with him and set up a time. They're a lot of fun. I've done 700 consults in 4 years and 2 months. So I'm busy with that. So I don't have a lot of time off. I take 4 hour holidays. That's about it.
This is the website right here.
This is the website. So subscribe is right in the middle. That's my stock and trade, the yellow.
Yep.
Uh-huh. The donate button no longer has PayPal. I'm not ashamed to say that. I think they sicked a bank officer, compliance officer. I think they sicked a bank officer on me to shut down a bank account. A collusion between PayPal and my old bank in Pennsylvania. There's a consult button in blue. There's a sponsor button in gray. That's for wealthier people who want to help me in a very big way. And that got pressed a couple times in the last month. In the last couple of weeks. Okay, I should mention that lower down with those little golden triangles is Gold Core. That's for secure vault, gold and silver purchases. I've also recently become an affiliate, and I need to update that affiliate with Miles Franklin. Miles Franklin is very convenient for buying gold and silver when you're in the US and Canada. Goldcorp is very excellent, and not a single complaint either for Miles Franklin or Goldcorp. I've been working with Goldcorp for 5 or 6 years. Not a single complaint. They use various vaulting facilities. They charge a minimal amount. And I never really believe that if it's not in your possession, you don't own it. I don't believe that at all.
I'm with you on that one. Sure.
Okay. Well, look, it's been great. We covered a lot of ground today, and
We did.
I'm rooting and praying for Trump. I hope and pray that he's successful and that who he is who he portrays himself to be.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Jim Willey. An amazing conversation that we had tonight. Like I said, you really hit it out of the park. I'm glad that we had this conversation, and I'm sure folks are going to love it. So once again, folks, Dr. Jim Willey, golden-jackass.com. I'm sure I'll have him back soon. And as usual, we'll have lots to talk about. So thank you, everybody, for listening. God bless and Godspeed. Patriot out.